Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Psychic Teachers. I'm Samantha Fay.
And I'm Deb Bowen.
And we're delighted to have you here with us this evening. Deb and I have kind of abandoned our Psychic Teachers Gmail account for the last several weeks because we've been so busy with everything. And we went through it and realized that there are an abundance of amazing questions. So tonight's show is going to be dedicated to answering some of the questions that you all have sent us via email and on Facebook. And if you're listening live and you have questions that you'd like us to discuss on the show, please go ahead and post them either on Facebook or if you're with us in the chat room.
Oh, but make those fairly general questions, like we're not doing readings. Let's make that clear.
Right, right. We're answering your questions that you have for us about crystals, psychic ability, tarot, things like that.
Right. Okay, good. All right. Wonderful.
I'm not going to do the meditation of the week, just so that we can focus on getting through these questions. But as always, Deb and I would ask that you send white light to yourself, to those that you love, and to all of those affected by the crazy weather conditions that have been hitting the Northeast.
Right. Please do.
Okay. The crystal of the week, I didn't really choose a crystal of the week. What I decided to discuss this week are crystal shapes, because I'm just fascinated by clear quartz and the variety of shapes that they come in and what they mean. So I just, I'm posting this on my blog. What's my blog thing called?
Your Crystal Chick blog.
My Crystal Chick blog. So it will be up in a little bit for you all to follow along more clearly. But if you ever find yourself holding crystals and they have unique shapes and you want to know, what does this mean, know that it definitely does mean something. Every shape that a crystal comes in will give you further information about it. So in particular, I'm talking about clear quartz tonight and the different shapes that they come in. One of the crystals shapes that I think many of us can use right now are abundance crystals. These are large quartz with like an abundance of smaller crystals around the base, and this shape helps you manifest more money into your life. You can keep them around your desk at work, say if you're hoping for a promotion or a raise. We can place it in the kitchen of your home because, according to Feng Shui, the kitchen is sort of like the hearth of the home, so it always represents where our prosperity and health abound. Or you can place it in the money corner of your home, which we've discussed this before, but for any new listeners, the money corner is the opposite left-hand corner from your front door. Crystal clusters, I know I've talked about crystal clusters, but I feel they bear repeating because they're such important, hard little workers for us. These are crystals that just come in pretty much the same size, and they're all clustered together in a group. And crystal clusters will help people to work together as a team. So I always recommend having a couple of crystal clusters at work and at home. You can place a crystal cluster on your desk, in your conference room. Let's say you're a hairstylist, you can put it at your station. If you're a massage therapist, you can put it underneath your massage table. Really, anywhere you work, hopefully there should be room for a crystal cluster, because it will help to create an energy of teamwork.
I have one in the center of my coffee table in my family room.
Yes, family room, kitchen, or relationship corner is a great place for your crystal clusters at home. And the relationship corner is the opposite right-hand corner from your front door. Bridge crystals feature a small crystal penetrating through a larger crystal. Bridge crystals will help you to access the other side for connections with your loved ones, because they act as a literal crystal bridge through meditation. It's said that bridge crystals can also help make a bridge with someone if you're having a hard time connecting with someone. Let's say you have a new job and your new boss just isn't really getting you. You can keep a bridge crystal at work with the intention that it helps with that relationship. So they kind of have two purposes. Channeling crystals. I have yet to find my own channeling crystal, but I'm always on the lookout for one. A channel crystal is any clear quartz crystal that has at least one seven-sided face on one side. I mean, if you add up the edges of the one big flat side, it should have seven sides, and a triangle on the opposite side. If you have a clear quartz crystal like that, then you have a channeling crystal. These are great stones for meditation. They work wonderfully for writers and musicians, people who have to channel information artistically. Dolphin crystals are really lovely stones. They're not that hard to find at all. They feature a larger crystal with smaller stones growing up the sides of the larger ones. They represent nurturing and unconditional love, and they will help your relationship with younger children to grow and flourish. If you happen to find two stones, so picture this, you have two single-terminated clear quartz crystals growing together and several smaller stones at the base, that's called a family crystal, and that will help a mom and a dad to raise their family in health and harmony. Both of those, believe it or not, aren't that hard to find. And if you, it doesn't matter. They don't have to be super big. They can be small or large. Rainbow crystals are also very easy to find. These clear quartz stones have a rainbow prism inside of them, and they hold the energy of hope, joy, optimism, and forgiveness. And Deb, I was just at the Stone Garden, and they have a smoky quartz crystal sphere with rainbow prisms inside of it.
Oh, my.
I know.
Oh, yeah.
It was a lovely stone. It was only $35. But I thought, if I have one more crystal ball in my house, people are going to think I'm really strange.
I wouldn't worry about that if I were you.
I know. But a smoky quartz with a rainbow really helps to banish depression and sadness. Record keeper crystals. These crystals have small triangular markings on one side of the stone, and each triangle is associated with a lesson that the holder needs to learn.
Mm-hmm.
So you literally unlock them just by rubbing that triangle in meditation. Scepter crystals, the last one I'll discuss tonight. These crystals actually look like scepters that kings and queens would hold. They have a long, thin base and a wider head. They are to be used when you need to feel powerful and in control of a situation. Because they also have phallic symbols, they kind of look phallic, they're also helpful when you need to draw on masculine energy or when you need to plant seeds that will grow as you work on a goal. So that's just a very quick general overview of the different types of crystals that you can find.
Could you speak, or do you want to maybe save this for another show? You know, there are different names for the shapes of points on crystals, like an Isis point, for example.
Yes. Do you want me to talk about the Isis stone?
I would, because I have a crystal that I just cherish that is a true Isis point stone.
Wow, where did you find it?
It was sent to me from somebody in Arkansas.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Okay. So Isis stones are, well, they're really, they have a five-sided facet at their tip. That's how you know you have an Isis stone.
Right, a true chevron.
Yes. The bottom edges will point up and out, representing reaching out into the world. And they're named in honor of the Egyptian goddess Isis, who always worked tirelessly to reassemble and revive her husband. Sorry, that image always cracks me up, after he was murdered and dismembered.
Yes, she did. She put him back together.
She put him back together, yes.
Right, she
Humpty
did.
Dumpty, she could not, but Osiris, she could.
Right.
So they're very useful stones if you need to deal with issues of fidelity or grief. After his death, she magically conceived his child, so those stones also represent fertility, creativity, and motherhood. But they're not just for women. If you're a man who's having a really hard time figuring out what the heck do women want, an Isis stone will work really well for you, keeping it in your relationship corner. So
mm-hmm.
That's Isis stone in general.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful. Okay. So, shifting gears dramatically here.
Squirrel
energy. It's November, and squirrels are about gathering. They teach you to plan ahead. If you've been watching squirrels lately, you've noticed that they are very, very busy finding nuts and hiding them and being very, very careful about where they store their stock of nuts for the winter. The notion of squirrel medicine is a really great gift. It teaches you to reserve something for the future, emotionally, judgments, opinions, your savings accounts, whatever you need to do to be prepared physically, emotionally, and spiritually for the future. It's about being aware of changing times and fortunes and being aware of the need to gather in and be prepared for that. And it's also about letting go of things that don't serve you, thoughts, worries, stress, gadgets. It's letting go and being able to be careful about what you actually hold on to in your home. I had one of our local charities come to my house yesterday and virtually emptied my garage, and I was so happy to see so much stuff go, and hopefully it can be used. So really, Squirrel isn't about hoarding. It's not that. It's about, in fact, that's the opposite of squirrels. It's about really taking stock of what serves you and what you really need and value in your life. And so as we move into this beautiful fall season in so many places of the country and you're watching the squirrels gather, use that as a metaphor to think about what you need to gather in and who you need to be for this coming winter.
Wonderful. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I always like this time of year for just trying to take time to do that, to just gather in and relax a little bit.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And this is the time of year that I do think about stocking up for keeping things on hand for soups and stews and whatnot mm-hmm. in the winter. And I love that. I love the harvest time of the year.
We should also mention that Mercury went retrograde on Tuesday.
Yes, it did, and we'll be there all month.
That's right. So just beware. I always try to take Mercury retrograde months as a time to kind of just stock up and stay in and reflect and lay low, so to speak. So I'm glad I'm not traveling. Usually I travel for Thanksgiving. This year I'm not, and I'm very grateful for that.
I am traveling, but not by plane, and getting ready to go on one of my virtually silent retreats for a week. So I'm really excited about that. It's time to replenish and stock up for me.
Yeah. But just as a refresher, Mercury retrograde just means anything to do with travel or communication or electronics might go awry while Mercury is in retrograde.
Yeah, that's really bad for the business world when Mercury goes in retrograde at Thanksgiving and people are trying to buy all that electronic stuff.
Yeah,
not a good plan.
I'm not doing that. I'm just going to wait until after. I'll wait until the first week in December. Something I found very interesting, though, is the last time Mercury went retrograde during an election time was when we had the Hanging Chads with Gore v. Bush.
Oh.
And Mercury went retrograde on Election Day this year. So I was really anticipating, you know, some catastrophe, and there was none.
Well, I'm very glad.
There's always some stress, but, you know, there was no big Hanging Chads.
Somebody's just posted in the chat room, yuck, I'm a travel agent. Well, I'm so glad that...
Well, the good side of Mercury retrograde for the travel agent is that it really can also represent just a time to slow down, which isn't so bad. It doesn't mean all travel things will go awry.
Right. You know, I have to just tell you, speaking of electronics and people buying electrical things, you know, I live with a lot of mechanical things that are not electronic in my world. You know, I don't have a microwave and I don't have, you know, those crazy things. And I was so excited because in the cleaning of the garage, I found a brand new hand cranked can opener in a box in a garage. And I was all excited. I brought it in.
Wow.
So I don't have an electric can opener, you know. Okay, so there we go. So, Samantha, let's get into our mailbag because, gosh, we've got so much to talk about here.
Yes, and we're going to start with a good question from Krista. She says, I listen to your podcast at work. I'm listening to old podcasts and working my way up. I was just wondering, I know loved ones come back to visit, but my question is this. What about loved ones that never knew you?
I guess they
knew you in heaven, but I'm just wondering if they do. I have a brother that passed before I was born. He lived a week before he passed. My mother and I both believe that my other brother is actually now that brother. I also believe that I am my mother's mom. She died when my mom was young, so I'm just wondering if any of my relatives come back to see me, even though I didn't know them.
Yes, is the short answer.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the long answer to that is, we travel in something called soul groups. I think the quintessential book that, as far as I'm concerned, best explains the concept of soul groups is a book by James Redfield called The Celestine Prophecy. And it really is the notion that we with family and close friends make this commitment to kind of travel through eternity together, being in each other's lives and being teachers and learners together. And so that certainly is a good possibility with what this gal's talking about with her brother. And I know you and I have differing opinions on how long one stays on the other side, and we can talk about that in a minute. But I've often wondered, I'm curious, what if I am my great-great-grandmother?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe, who knows, mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, I do know that our loved ones still do watch us. I have done readings where great grandmothers have come through. That's as far back as they've gone. But I always say, think about you. I mean, when you die, you're going to look after your children, and you're going to look in at your children's children and your children's children, because that's just what a loving person does, correct?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You're not going to not love someone because you never met them. It's still your grandchild or your great-grandchild. So they definitely do. In my opinion, I believe that even if they have reincarnated, this is going to sound kind of weird, but I believe that we have several aspects of our self. And I believe that our higher self always stays in heaven. And then other aspects of ourselves reincarnate. Gordon Smith compares it, the medium that I love from Scotland, Gordon Smith, he always compares it to like a hard drive. You know, you can make many copies onto CDs from a hard drive, but the hard drive is still our essence. So, for example, even if Krista's brother did reincarnate as her younger brother, an aspect of him still resides in heaven.
Mm-hmm. I hear what you're saying.
Okay.
I have a story to tell about that real quickly. I worked some years ago in a group home for kids who had committed violent felonies. And one of them was a young man, he was 13, and he would wake up in the middle of the night with night terrors. And he would be, it would seem as if he were almost pretending to command troops in Vietnam. Well, now this was in the 80s, so it was after Vietnam. And he would just, it was just a terrible thing for this child. And I learned that he had an older brother who was killed in Vietnam before the young man was born. And I often wondered if, in fact, he was his brother and was having memories, if the veil for him was very thin.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's really neat.
Mm-hmm. It's an interesting question, isn't it?
It is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you ready for our next question?
I am. Let's do it.
Okay, this is from Brent. Dear Deb and Samantha, I know you both welcome show ideas or topics, and I wanted to share an idea that sparked from a question I've had over the past few weeks since I first heard your podcast about dreaming and more specifically being a night worker. Deb, I believe you were the one who talked on the ladder issue.
Right.
I find that I receive my messages and symbols through dreams. Often these are so vivid, and I immediately wake up remembering them. Sometimes I feel compelled to call the individuals I dreamt about and let them know the message I received. That said, I was wondering if there were any tools out there for intuitive dreamers, those of us who primarily receive our messages via dreams. Are there any specific meditations to do before going to bed? Are there any stones to place nearby? Can you explain, Deb, what you mean or interpret night workers to be?
Sure.
Okay.
Absolutely. What happens is, it's like astral projection. Except that when we think of astral projection, we think of kind of flying over places and looking in on things going on. It's almost like kind of a remote viewing kind of thing. But instead, night workers are folks who have contracted in this lifetime to leave their bodies during the night and actually go and do helpful work. These are folks who are most often seen in hospitals, for example, or hospice centers, where people see you as very real and very human, and they often see you as someone who's just come in to give comfort. Sometimes they go to scenes of accidents where someone is crossing over or there's some kind of trauma. And so that's why sometimes you wake up so exhausted in the morning and feel like you have run a marathon during the night, and it's because you've literally been, you've left your body and you've gone to work and you've committed to do that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Do you know how many emails you and I get about people who dream of us?
Well, golly, isn't that funny?
Isn't that funny? Yeah, I get that a lot, and I always think, wow, I wonder if we're, like, visiting people.
We may be. We may be. And a clue that sometimes you can have about that is if, like, for example, I abhor hospitals. I'm not good at going to hospitals and visiting and doing that kind of stuff. And it's because I work in them in the night, and I don't want to go back in the daytime.
Right.
So that's another way you can kind of know about stuff like that.
Right. And some crystals, because Brent asked about some crystals you can put by your bed to help with that, would be howlite and amethyst come to mind?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Amethyst is great for that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And things you can do before bed to encourage being a night dreamer. I know you always recommend drinking water,
mm-hmm.
right, so that you'll be woken up.
Right.
That's an important thing.
Keeping a notepad and a pen by the bed.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's important. I always keep a glass of water by my bed that I never drink from.
Yeah, that's. I know it absorbs your negativity stuff coming in at night, doesn't it?
Yeah, and it also is a conductor of energy, so I feel that that's helpful too. I think it's also good right before you go to bed to read metaphysical stuff.
I've noted
that whenever I read anything metaphysical, whether it's a memoir of an intuitive or a book on near-death experiences or something like that, I'll often have more intuitive dreams than if I, you know, just watch the news before bed.
Right. I'm currently working on a book about the Gnostic Gospels.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know.
Are you having any neat dreams?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's kind of cool.
Yeah. All right. So I hope that answers that question. But there are books out there. There are two books. I can't think of the names off the top of my head, but there are books that people have written about being a night worker.
There are.
If I go to Amazon and Google night worker, I'm going to come up with books about other things.
Yeah, don't do that.
I know I've heard women being interviewed, two women in particular on Coast to Coast who have written books on that.
The very first psychic I ever saw, the very first reading I ever had, that was one of the things that the psychic told me in answer to my what then seemed to be sleep problems.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's important, and one thing that I've noted is that, you know, the very first psychic, I don't know what you want to call it, but one of the first things that happened to me on this path was the dream I had where all those deceased people came to me and told me how they died.
Oh, I remember that, yeah.
And the main guy named Red said to me, we've been trying to come to you for years, and we figured this is the only way we could do it. It's not so scary when you're dreaming, is it?
Mm-hmm.
And I remember going, no, this is fine. I'll do this. This is fine. And for a long time, that's how all my impressions came in dreams. And even to this day, I very rarely get psychic impressions or tips about friends or family, but I will through dreams. Not often, but sometimes. I'll dream about them being pregnant, or I'll dream about, just an important incident coming up in their life.
Right.
So it's a really good way for your intuition to allow itself to spread its wings and fly without your ego or judgment getting in the way.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Okay. We have another good question from Carolyn. She says, hello, I'm a longtime listener of your show. I never miss a podcast. Thank you, Carolyn.
We appreciate it.
It has brought me great comfort and affirmation on my path. So thank you from the bottom of my heart for your sacrifice and dedication to spreading light. Deb and Sam, thank you for the work. And not only has it been enjoyable, it has been transforming the way I live my life. I have a few questions that I'm hoping you can address on air or privately. I am reading a lot on electromagnetic smog fields and radiation emitting from Wi-Fi routers, television sets, and microwaves. I have a few friends and post-cancer treatment patients who are sensitive to EMF, but also intuitives as well. I am concerned with the growing amount we rely on technology around us, that it affects our intuition and ability to ground ourselves. I am looking to help ground my apartment, but I can't afford to place large one-pound crystals in every single room.
Oh, no, you don't have to. We'll talk about that.
Okay. I work at an office all day in an open concept layout with computers grouped at stations with no walls. So we're sharing a Wi-Fi connection, our computers, as well as cordless phones and cell phones in one space. What do you recommend to protect oneself? I have heard of orgone pyramids.
I don't know what that is.
I don't either. Will orgone materials cover a radius of one's home, even through walls? I'd love your thoughts on this matter. Although you may have touched on this at one point, I have heard many conflicting statements from other people that the size of the crystal does not matter, or does matter. Mm. I want to settle that intent into my black tourmaline to protect me from any radiation or smog connected to cell phones. However, does intent conquer all, even size, which can be very expensive? Perhaps I'm not sensitive enough to feel the vibration from smaller crystals.
Wow. Well, okay. I have a lot to say about this one, of course, too. You know, I guess it was back in the 80s. When the Love Canal incident happened in New York with all the nasty radiation and stuff, and then they started realizing that people who lived near those gigantic power line transformer things were more likely to get cancer or leukemia, and all that stuff started happening. I was really fascinated by that very notion, is what she's talking about electromagnetic smog and fields. I don't have a microwave. I don't have a television that works. And ironically, of course, Samantha and I are sitting here using a lot of electronic equipment to come in and talk to you all tonight, so there's kind of an oxymoronic kind of thing. But I think that the mindfulness of our use of that stuff is really important. I was recently given an iPad at work because my boss didn't want me to go to fancy meetings with bigwigs with a legal pad. And so when I asked the technician who was setting it up for me how I got to something where I could write on this thing, she pushed an app, isn't that what it's called? And a picture of a legal pad came up. I thought, good Lord, have mercy, this is crazy. So I just think that we certainly need to be aware of that. But I do believe that you can certainly counter and protect yourself from those energy fields with crystals. And I am a size does not matter girl. Samantha, you want to take it from there?
I am too. I don't think you have to have a one-pound crystal in every room. I think that intention does conquer size. I think it's putting the energy out there of protection. The only thing I'm cognizant of when it comes to this stuff, you know, I do have a microwave. I do have a TV in my room. I do all of that stuff. The only thing I try not to do is I'm very wary of alarm clocks and cell phones by my bed. So my cell phone, for example, is on the other side of my room. My alarm clock is on the other side of the room. I don't want to sleep with anything that near my head. I also, when I'm using the cell phone, I use the speakerphone a lot so that I don't have to have it up by my ear. But I just, what I do is I have little clusters of fluorite crystals, and I keep those by my power charger centers and by my phones and TVs. Fluorite is a great stone for absorbing any negative EMF stuff.
I have a piece of fluorite in my foyer, by my front door.
Mm-hmm. And they're not, fluorite's great because it's not that expensive. I just bought a nice big, maybe 4-inch by 4-inch slice of fluorite for $5.
All right. Someone's posted a question in the chat room about this and said that they've always heard that plants help absorb negative energy from electronics. That's absolutely true.
Great suggestion.
Good suggestion.
Yes, plants work tirelessly. And they do help absorb a lot of that. I really believe that there is all of this stuff in the energy field. And I have paid money for, what is that thing I bought, Deb, that I put on the back of my cell phone, that dot? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Uh-uh.
Linda sold it to me.
I remember this, but I don't remember what it's made out of.
I can't either. Anyway, you can buy things that I don't know. It just felt like a ceramic dot on the back of my phone, but supposedly it did something. Eventually it just fell off and I lost it. So I really believe that you don't have to go to Radio Shack and spend hundreds of dollars on special stuff, and I don't think you have to go to a crystal store and spend hundreds of dollars on giant crystals. Size does not matter.
No, and I think if you grid your space, and she asked about her office, you know, you can put a little pile of rocks in a dish on your desk, mm-hmm. and people just think you're a rock geek.
Yeah.
And they don't have to know.
Yeah.
You know,
I have this, I'd like to know what you think about this, Deb, because I'm constantly buying crystals, and it's really getting to be kind of an issue because I don't have room for all of them. So I have all these crystals just in these huge bowls.
I do,
you know,
too.
Like all everywhere. And
mm-hmm.
and sometimes I look at the bowls and I think, oh, like I haven't taken you out. I haven't looked at you in a while. Like that's terrible and I feel bad. And then I just had this thought come to me and I thought, every time you purchase a crystal for a specific reason, you're inviting that energy into your aura.
Right.
Right? So mm-hmm. if you buy a scepter crystal, for example, because you need to feel more powerful in a situation, you're inviting that intention into your aura. So I think if you go to a store and you buy 10 small black tourmaline for $10 total, you're inviting the energy of protection into your aura. You're opening that up. You're saying, I need this psychic protection from the EMF in my office. And that's really enough. Ask and you shall receive.
That's exactly right. That is, I mean, I hear Jesus. I always find it humorous when I'm the one quoting the Bible. I hear Jesus about the faith of the mustard seed.
Mm-hmm.
You know how little a mustard seed is?
Yeah.
Hello.
That's right. So to answer that your question in a long way to the short end, it's size does not matter, and protect yourself with fluorite or black tourmaline or black hematite.
Right.
All those, I think, would be stones I'd recommend.
Yeah, absolutely, me too.
Okay, so our next email, this is a story, a little paragraph I want to read from a listener named Jen, and it's a story about synchronicity, and I'm sharing it for two reasons. One, it's just a really cool crystal story, and two, she wants us to do a show on synchronicity, and I think that would be a great topic.
Oh, it is a cool topic. Yeah, let's do it. Thank
yeah.
you for that suggestion, Jen.
It's a great suggestion. So if any of you listening have a story about synchronicity, you know, running into the right person at the right time, or just those coincidences that aren't coincidences,
right.
send it to Deb and I at psychicteachers@gmail.com and put synchronicity in the subject line, and that'll help us get to it faster.
Right.
And we will plan a show on that. Okay, so this is what Jen writes. Here is a great story that has made me the happiest girl in the universe. I just found out about Lemurian crystals last week while listening to Psychic Teachers. I quickly did a lot of reading on them and decided to start saving my money to get one. I am new to the crystal and metaphysical world, coming off being a huge skeptic and totally closed-minded atheist. I have undergone a great awakening in the last 6 months after recovering from breast cancer. Anyhow, my fiancé is still an atheist and a skeptic, but he is cool with my awakening, mostly because I'm a much happier and nicer person. He knows I have recently started a rock collection, and I mainly just stick to the cool geological scientific talk when referring to my collection. Over the weekend, he went on a motorcycle ride and was running out of gas. He did not want to stop, but figured it was best not to run out of gas in the middle of a small town. There was a rock shop next door to the gas station, and for some reason, he felt compelled to go in. The lady running the shop was excited and gave him a tour. They talked about me, and he told her I was a map maker and told her my birthday was coming up. She picked out 4 stones and was super excited about one she called the Cartographer Stone. She wrote down all the names of the stones, and he purchased them and brought them home to surprise me. Boy, was I surprised when I pulled out a lovely lavender rose quartz, citrine, gyrospace, and a Lemurian record keeper seed quartz crystal. I almost fell out of my chair. I had just started opening communication with my guardians, and this was a huge sign from them. I am totally in love and addicted with my Lemurian, so happy it's found its way to me. The really funny part is that my fiancé found out about the gyrospace is good for healing gout, which he suffers from, so he asked me to put it next to his bed. Thank you, universe, and thank you, Samantha and Deb, for introducing me to Lemurians.
I just love that story.
Isn't that awesome? I do, too.
That's
and I love that,
story.
Like, her skeptic atheist boyfriend is the one who found the coolest stones.
I do, too. Isn't that great?
Yeah.
Isn't that just wonderful?
I love the way crystals find us. I feel like every story I have that, every stone I have that's especially meaningful to me has a really cool story and a really significant journey that it went on to find its way to me. And I know you're the same, and I'm sure everyone who collects crystals is the same.
Oh, I can tell you how every single stone in my house got to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's a part of the journey for my connection with that stone is a part of our energy together.
Wow.
Isn't that great?
Yeah, it really is.
I love it. I love it. As I'm sitting here talking, I've got a little dish, and I have a sodalite egg that you gave me. I have a citrine that a friend gave me when I went back to school, and a heart-shaped piece of rose quartz. And those three stones live in a dish together to help me with writing and creativity and so forth. And I just, every one of them has a great history.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It's really neat to think about all the people that, you know, these stones are sometimes thousands and millions of years old. And think about all the people that have held this stone before it got to you.
Oh, yeah. It's so cool.
Okay. Ready for another question?
I am.
Okay, this is from Melissa. She says, "Hello, ladies. I have a question about past lives."
Oh, okay.
"Several years ago, I was watching a movie, and on it, a person was thrown into a hole in the floor that was full of syringes. It was a horror movie. And at the moment the character landed in them, I got the strongest case of deja vu I have ever had. This had happened to me before. I could just feel it. But I knew that it had never happened to me, at least not in this lifetime. I had a hard time letting it go because the memory was so strong, but there was nothing more I could do with it, so since then it has just sat in the background of my mind. I recently purchased Margot Adler's Drawing Down the Moon, thanks for the suggestion, and in about chapter 4 or so, she mentions things that were done to witches in the early days of the church. The quote reads, 'We were tortured, burned, hanged, and placed in vats of ground glass.' After reading that, the memory came back to me once more, and I'm wondering if it is because this is a memory from a past life. Can you guys speak more to this?"
Yes, and yes. Absolutely, Melissa. I would certainly say that you were certainly having a past life moment there. And I think that happens to us a lot. We just have to be aware of it. I was reading, I can't remember now, something recently where the person who wrote the book was talking about, gosh, it's not coming, but whoever it was talking about how traditional therapy has finally come to understand that there are issues and memories and deep-seated stuff that go on in people's lives that transcend beyond the present lifetime, and that there really is the need to work with intuitives and people who do past life regression work, for example, to help really release those older memories. I think I have mentioned on the show before that while I absolutely love birds, I think they're beautiful. I love them in my yard. I love them on the beach, but I am terrified of the thought of being locked up in a room with one. And I thought that that memory, that fear came from some things that happened in my childhood in this life. But in working with psychics, I have also learned that it goes back to many other older lifetimes. Mm-hmm. So it's something that has been with me a long time, and I really hope to be able to release it in this life. So, Melissa, I hope you're able to release that. And I'm glad you're reading Margot's book. I think that might even help you with that.
Yeah. I think that oftentimes we have these past life memories because of several reasons. If something that traumatic happened, I mean, I can't imagine being put in a vat of ground glass. That's going to stay in your cellular memory.
Mm-hmm.
And it can wreak havoc with phobias and fears in this life, or it can just lay dormant until something happens like a movie triggers that memory. I think what's important is to try to do some past life regression work and release that.
I agree.
And,
I agree.
You know, Deb, you've had some great past life regression work done to you. I'm a big fan of regressing yourself.
And I've done that too, but I agree. I have too. I've been, Dale Ruttman, who has been on our show very recently actually with Samantha,
mm-hmm.
did some of the most powerful past life work with me I've ever had done.
Yeah, she does great work. But if you don't know a past life regression therapist or you can't afford to go see one, you can do it yourself. Just get a CD. I always recommend Brian Weiss's, but I know there are others out there.
Right.
Okay, here's another question. This is from Cindy in Connecticut. She says, "Hi, Deb and Samantha. I love your podcast. I listen when I'm at work. I just subscribed and also downloaded all the past archives. You guys are amazing. I just have one question, though. I love crystals, but I don't know too much about them and how to get them to really work for me. Any recommended good reads or websites?" Well, I'd have to say my website because... No, I'm kidding. Well, not really. But if you go to my website, thecrystalchick.com, and you click on recommended reads, under that, I have a subtitle called Crystals, and I put all my favorite crystal books in there. I think a great website just to look at beautiful crystals is exquisitecrystals.com. They are the ones who do all the photography for all of Judy Hall's books, and they just have some of the finest specimens of crystals. Another one I always recommend is pointoflight.net. That's a website from a store based here in Asheville, North Carolina. If you're looking to buy large, like, wholesale stones, like, let's just say you want, like, a pound of jasper because you want to make a money tree or something, well, I guess you'd use green aventurine for that. But there's a website called Pike's Peak. I don't know if it's .com or not, but if you Google Pike's Peak, you can buy wholesale stones there without a wholesale tax number.
Okay,
what
there
else
you go.
Do you recommend for that?
Well, the question was also about books, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I default to Judy Hall.
Mm-hmm.
I default to Cassandra Eason's book.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, if you have money, Melody's books.
Yeah, Love is in the Earth.
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That's a great one.
Yeah. I'm hoping that one of these days I'll actually be able to get it. But but I love Cassandra Eason's work.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She's great. Mm-hmm. And any book, I think, that has reliable pictures is really helpful for the beginner, too.
It absolutely is, you know.
Because you've got to learn to see them. So we've done a show on crystals, haven't we? We must have.
We've done lots of shows on crystals.
Okay, good. Because if she's going through the archives, hopefully she'll hear some of those discussions and how they can work for you. But in general, I just want to mention this to answer her question. When you get a crystal, when you bring it home, you want to clean it. And you can clean it by soaking it in a bowl of rice, then throw the rice away. You can clean it in sunlight, moonlight. You can run it under water if it's, you know.
Nestle it in sage.
Nestle it in a bowl of sage. But you just want to clean it. You can clean it with breath. You can picture white light coming in through your crown chakra and breathe it out your mouth and clean the stone that way. And then you just want to get to know that crystal. So, you know, you want to ask it to do what you need it to do for you.
Right.
So let's say, speaking about our other question we had, if you bought a fluorite to help prevent any negative EMF from the television, just sit with that stone a minute and state the intention and ask it to work for you to do that.
Right. Thank you. I want to just mention, I don't want to read her email, but we got a great email from Lori that I just am grateful to you for sending to us, Lori. She mentions that some time back when I was hosting the show alone, I did the Pagan Wheel of the Year show, if you remember that.
Mm-hmm.
And I had mentioned that an option if you were looking for kindred spirits is that the Unitarian Universalist Fellowship has a pagan branch. And this gal took my advice and went and just met some great kindred spirits, and it was a really good experience for her. So, Lori, thank you for that. I'm so glad to hear that for you.
That's really nice.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Okay, so we have a question in our Facebook page from Ted.
Mm-hmm.
He says, "I have pictures of orbs showing up as I move from state to state. Why?" So has something followed him as he's moved? What do you think, Deb? Deb?
I'm here.
Oh.
I'm just thinking.
All right, I'm like, you're not answering my question. All right, well, I'll let you think and I'll answer.
Okay, you go and then I'll give it some thought.
I definitely think that things can follow us, but here's the thing. I don't think they're always negative. I think sometimes we get so spooked out by the paranormal, but para just means beyond normal, and it doesn't necessarily mean Amityville Horror. So I think sometimes we can have something follow us, and I think sometimes it can be negative. Sometimes, most of the time, it's not. Let's say, for example, maybe Ted has a loved one, like an aunt or an uncle who recently passed, who's just kind of afraid to move on, that person might be clinging to his energy because Ted might be more open than the average person, so it's easier to hold on to that energy. Or it could be the case of, say, someone who has passed away, and maybe Ted was very kind to that person, and that person is just clinging to him in the afterlife as well. Or it could be his spirit guide who's showing up as an orb. So I think it would depend on how you're feeling about this energy around you,
mm-hmm.
and how much energy you're giving to it. I think it's important to remember, if you feel that something negative is around you, you have the power to set the boundaries. You, and only you, have the power to make this thing go away. You don't need to hire an investigative team. You don't need to hire... Oh, can I say real quick, Deb, there is a new show out that I just hate. I mean,
ooh.
I know that's a strong word, but I'm going to
say
this. It's called Curses, or Curse. I think it's on the Biography channel. And it's just stupid, stupid, stupid stories of people who believe they're cursed. And they blame every wrong thing that happens in their life on this alleged family curse.
Yuck.
I know. And the show never does any follow-up, never has any experts talking on how to, like, maybe, I don't know, get rid of a curse. You know what I mean? Like, there's no positive swing here anywhere on this show. It's just a gross show. And all it's doing is propagating and promoting the belief that there are such a thing as curses. Curses are only as powerful as you believe in them.
That's right.
That's it. So if you don't believe in curses, they won't affect you. Bad stuff happens to people. It's called life. Good stuff happens to people. It's called life. Neither is a curse or a blessing. It's just life. And I think it's us that adds our fear and our judgment on it that makes it this intense thing.
Right.
So anyway, getting back to Ted's question, if you feel that something negative has followed you from another state to here, what you need to do is set those boundaries, call on your higher power and say, look, I'm already claimed by the light. I am of the light, and anything negative here is not allowed in my space. You are commanded and demanded to leave right now.
Right. And orbs are just, they're just energy, you know?
Yeah.
They just are.
Okay, and we have another question from Angelina. She says, I gave my aunt some crystals, and for some reason they always turn white. Why? Is it a bad thing? It doesn't matter which crystal, but it happens. I almost feel sad for the crystals. Any suggestions on what she could do to stop this from happening? Thanks.
Weird.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that happens, and I would love to know if she means like a purple stone turns white or a clear stone gets cloudy.
Oh, yeah, because sometimes they do get cloudy.
Yeah, and if a stone gets that white, cloudy, milky stuff in them, it just means it's absorbed a lot of your negativity. And I don't mean, like, your negative. I just mean any negativity that you've absorbed throughout the day.
Mm-hmm.
And that just means the crystal needs to be cleansed.
Right. Yeah, I've never heard of stones of other color turning white.
No, I have never heard of that either, like, say, a purple amethyst turning white or a green aventurine turning white. But I have seen, like, my own clear quartz stones turning a milky, cloudy white.
And it's just because I think of them as they're full. They've done their job, and they just need a break and need to be cleaned.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know my rose quartz that I wear all the time?
Mm-hmm.
That needs, like, a really permanent break from me.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, it's constantly cloudy now, and I keep it cleansed, but I just try not to.
You know, the very first piece of quartz that I was ever given, I mean, 30 years ago, maybe more than 30 years ago, I wore it around my neck for years, and the chain kept breaking. I mean,
mm-hmm.
every other day,
mm-hmm.
and I thought, okay, it's time for a break,
yeah.
and Joel suggested that I should give the stone away, and I just, for sentimental reasons, couldn't do that.
Sure.
So I took it off and put it on my keychain and still have it with me, but I realized that we were done with it around my neck, and there was kind of a grieving that went with that,
mm-hmm.
you know?
There really is.
We have a question that came into our Gmail account while the show has been going on.
Okay.
From Kathy, and she says, are quince seeds used for protection? There is a website selling them embedded in jewelry.
I own one.
Do you?
I do.
I don't know a thing about that.
Well, it was started by Marianne Winkowski.
The
girl. And she was always, you know, in her family, there's always at least one person, it's passed down from generation to generation, who can speak to ghosts.
Uh-huh, right.
From Italy, and they were always told that quince seeds can protect you from taking on negativity or from bringing a ghost or spirit home with you.
Mm-hmm.
And so she sells quince seeds embedded in resin as necklaces and anklets.
Well, and, how about that?
Yeah, I just really admire her. I admire her work, and I trust in what she says. So I, you know, that long chain I wear that has all like my saint medals and my crystals on it.
I do.
I wear my quince seed on that.
Okay, well there you go then.
Yeah, but if you're looking for information on that, read The Ghost Whisperer. No, that's not true. That's not the name of the book. It's called When Ghosts Speak.
When Ghosts Speak.
By Marianne Winkowski, and she talks about it, and she talks a lot in there too about curses.
Ooh.
And how to get rid of them, and how they really don't necessarily exist. They're just on how much power you put into it.
Right. Okay.
Okay, we have another question on Facebook from Shelley. She says, I have a question about stones. Lately, I can't stop thinking about jasper. It's constantly on my mind. I keep hearing the word jasper. I know you've mentioned different types of jasper and their meanings, but I'm having trouble remembering what jasper is used for. All I know is everything is telling me I need some.
Well, trust that. And
yeah.
And the colors of jasper correspond to their work with the given chakras. In fact, Joel and I had a conversation earlier today about red jasper,
mm-hmm.
you know, which we would use, of course, for a root chakra work.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so there are so many different types of jasper. There's Dalmatian jasper and leopard skin jasper and orbicular and ocean jasper, and there's just so many different types. But in general, jasper is for protection. So what I would do is I would probably Google jasper, and then I would click images, and I would look at what picture you're drawn to, if it's the red jasper or if it's the spotted jasper or if it's the ocean jasper, and just see which one you're drawn to, and then Google metaphysical meaning of that type of jasper. But if you're feeling that and you're hearing that, it just means you really need that stone. I think it would be for protection or for root chakra issues in general, but more specifically, I think it's going to be helpful to find out which type of jasper you're being drawn to.
Mm-hmm.
She also wanted to know about websites for buying crystals. I already mentioned the two that I use, and she mentions that she buys them on eBay. I've not had a negative experience buying crystals on eBay, but I know some people are prejudiced against that, but
I think Joel's bought some on eBay.
Yeah, yeah. I just always look at the feedback. If the feedback is 99% or above, mm-hmm. I feel I can rely on that.
I had a client ask me recently. She was having some strange electrical things happen with lightning in her house. And so we found that fossilized stone that's struck by lightning and sand. You know, mm-hmm. my mind's gone blank with the name of it at the moment. And we found some pieces for her on eBay for that.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
I bought an Iolite. For some reason, I really wanted an Iolite necklace at one point, and I couldn't find one anywhere, so I just Googled it, and I found one on Etsy.
Oh.
And, Etsy is a website for people who make their own crafts,
right.
jewelry,
mm-hmm.
paintings,
mm-hmm.
and sell them. And so I bought her Iolite necklace, and when it came to me, it arrived from Israel.
Oh, wow.
And I thought, how cool that... I mean, it's just so neat the way technology works.
It really is. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
We have a question in the chat room.
Okay.
Can lower energies mimic voices?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, absolutely. So can higher energies. I don't know where this question has come from with this person's perspective here, but the answer is yes. I mean, they certainly can. That's what EVP machines do, is they pick up voices. Although I have to tell you, Samantha, we on Samhain, we tried the ghost app on the iPad thing, and we didn't pick up anybody in my house, and I know there were people here.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just saying I don't mm-hmm. necessarily trust the electronics.
Right, right.
You know.
But yes, I think lower energies can mimic a lot of things, and I think it's important to always go by how you're feeling. If you're feeling afraid, there's probably a reason.
Right, if it doesn't feel positive to you, don't go there.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, we have a question that's of a personal nature, but I think it's. I want to make a greater point about it. This is from Brenda. She says, I'm very confused and would like your help or guidance. I'm at a point in my life where I feel like I still might not be clear in what I want, and I don't even think I'm on the same page with my boyfriend. Is there any other way to resolve my situation besides leaving each other? Am I overreacting? I think the reason why I wanted to bring up this question is because I think if you're asking the question, you already know the answer. And I think that's important. If you're already thinking about, I don't know, something drastic in your life, like changing jobs or leaving a relationship or moving out of state, that means something is not going right in your life, and you need to take some time to reflect and meditate and pray on that. I don't know if it always means it means you need a psychic. It can be nice, because one thing that a psychic can do is validate for you, you know, that you are feeling that correctly. How many times do you and I hear that? Yes, I was hoping you'd
yes.
I would move or what have you. But I really think that the answers truly do lie within you. And that if you're feeling a push to leave a relationship or to leave a situation, or you're feeling stuck or confused, it means you need to stop. Just stop and slow down and really step aside and observe your situation and call on help. Call on your guides and angels and loved ones on the other side to help you and give clarity and ask for signs. And wait. Don't make any drastic decisions when you're in that panic mode. But
mm-hmm.
if you're feeling this way, it's for a reason. And usually, if you're asking the question, you know the answer.
Right.
That's what I want.
Yes, that is true. And it's so hard for us to trust our intuition about ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the hard part.
Yeah.
We second guess ourselves all over the place.
All the time.
Absolutely, we do. So we've had an interesting question that we don't know the answer to, because we're going to have to ask him. But we've had a request that folks want to see what Joel looks like.
I love it.
I love it, too. So we'll be talking to Joel and seeing if he's willing to share a photograph of himself. He's a very handsome man, so that,
yes,
you know,
he
maybe
is.
He will.
Yay. Okay, good. We have a good question in our Facebook message board. She says, do you have a favorite exercise to open yourself up before doing readings?
Oh, yeah.
I think we do different things. So
we do different things.
Tell us what you do.
I do some deep breathing, and I do some meditating. I open my chakras and get them spinning as closely as I can to synchrony, you know, so that they're all in the same line and spinning at the same rate. I always pray. I have never, ever, 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 once, ever laid out those cards without a prayer that I always say that invites in my guides and the guides of the people for whom I'm working, and that I am a conduit for truth. So, yeah, I always do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What I do is I do some deep breathing as well. I light a candle.
Mm-hmm.
I always put a glass of water out. I have four little hard-working crystals that are always with me when I do readings, so I get those out. I get pen and paper out, and then I close my eyes, and I picture myself becoming grounded and opening up. So I always will ground myself with tree roots coming out of the roots of my feet, and then I'll picture my crown chakra open. And then I just start by opening up all my chakras and spinning them. And then I go into my crystal cave, and that's where I ask to meet with their spirit guide and their loved ones on the other side.
Right. There we go. We're out of time, Samantha.
I know. We have so many more questions. We'll have to do this again.
This evening has just flown. Thank you all so very much for being with us. We, as always, are so grateful for your following the show, and we hope that you have a wonderful and blessed week, and we'll be back with you next week.
Have a great week, everyone. Take care.
Okay, folks. Good night.